The words for of God given today is Acts chapter 16, verse 26 to 34. It's on page 216 on New Testament. Allow me to read. Suddenly, there was a sudden violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the words of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Amen. In that night, when Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi prison with chains on their feet, there was a sudden earthquake, and the prison shook heavily. At the same time, the prison doors got opened and the chains got loosened, which was placed at the feet of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were not the only ones who were in the prison in that night. There was a jailer who had a heavy mission to guard them and watch them, so that they do not escape from the Philippi prison. The order was from the high officers. And Paul and Silas sang so loud and prayed so loud in the prison, and all other prisoners could hear them as well. This is stated in the verse 25 so vividly. However, there is no statement that says about the doors of the other prisoners and chains of the other prisoners being loosened on the same night. If all the doors of the prison had opened up, then the prison might have become chaos by the prisoners attempting to escape, rushing out of the prison. So, from the fact that there's no statement or evidence that reports about the other doors being opened, then we can assume that it would be the door of the room that where Paul and Silas were stayed has opened and the chains has loosened. This is similar to the situation stated in Acts chapter 12, in which Peter was imprisoned in Jerusalem. The night before he was to be hanged, the door of his prison room became unlocked. And it was only that door. The jailer, who was so deep asleep, woke up by the sudden earthquake and shaking. When he saw the door of the Peter and Silas open, he attempted to kill himself with a sword. He automatically assumed that Peter and Silas had escaped from the prison. This meant that he had failed to follow the order given to him by this high officer of Philippi prison. And this means that he would have to be punished for this. When he was about to commit suicide, he heard Paul saying and calling out, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." It is doubtful that there may have been any kind of other lighting 2,000 years ago in that prison. The jailer heard this sound in darkness with surprise, and this is written in the verse 29. The jailer called for lights. To the sound that came through the darkness, the jailer asked the other one to give the lamp. In Korean, the word "the lamp" is a singular form, but in Greek, as I mentioned 3 weeks ago, it is in plural form. The jailer rushed into the room where Paul and Silas were locked in, not just with one lamp, but two lamps in both hands. It was to see if what he had just heard was real or if it was hallucination. In other words, he wanted to check if Paul and Silas had escaped, which was his first thought, or if they were still there in the room. He wanted to check with his two eyes. In the room, the two persons were still sitting with the loosened chain and open door as if nothing had happened. To the jailer's common sense, it was unimaginable. Let's look further on the verse 29. It says, "The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas." The jailer was overwhelmed by the fact that these two people stayed in although they had a chance to escape. Their chains were loosened and the door was open wide. He was shocked by the unknown power and was in fear even. He kneeled down to Paul and Silas. The word translated to kneel down is in Greek prosipto. This word means to fall trembling down due to something unexpected or shocked. Jailer's duty and responsibility is to watch and guard the prisoners. He knows more than anyone that all the prisoners, whenever they have the chance to escape, will try to escape. This is their instinctive response. So when he saw Paul and Silas still sitting in the room and remained in the prison, it was a very shocking scene. He had to just kneel down in front of Paul and Silas. If we look at the verse 30, it says, "He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" When the jailer got his senses back, he took Paul and Silas out of the prison. We'll look more closely later, but he took them to his house. And he called Paul and Silas, "Sirs." In Greek, it is kurios, which means Lord. It is the same word we use to refer to Jesus, which is kurios, the Lord. This is the best calling for someone in respect. His utmost respect. And jailer continued to ask, What must I do to be saved? Now, let's try to imagine what the situation would look like 2,000 years ago in Philippi prison when we were there, if we were there. I'm the jailer of the Philippi prison. And this afternoon, I received a strict order from the high officers of the Philippi, which is to guard and watch Paul and Silas closely. I put them into the room, in the room which has the chains attached to the wall, and I locked them up. Now it becomes the night. I'm watching and guarding the rooms to make sure that nothing happens during the night. I become sleepy and I lose self-control and I fall asleep. Suddenly there is a big noise and the earth is shaking. It is the dark night and I cannot see things very clearly, but I do see that the door of the room in which Paul and Silas were locked in is now open. This open door obviously means that they have escaped. That means that I have not followed the order given by the high officers of Philippi. If so, then what is left for me? It is to kill myself. If I don't, since I lost or I allowed the prisoners to escape, I have to deal with all the torturing to death. And this is such a disgracing death. So I took out the sword from my waist belt and aimed to my stomach to kill myself. Just in that moment, when I was about to kill myself, I hear a sound in the midst of such dark night. It says, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." It surely sounded like Paul, because I heard him in this afternoon. But I'm thinking it can't be true, because the door is open, and there's no way that the prisoners did not escape. And to my experience as a jailer, it would not be possible. But on the other hand, I did hear Paul's voice. So I asked the other jailer to bring the lamps, and I took them in my both hands and went to the room where Paul and Silas are locked in. And I go into the open the door and shine the light. Surprisingly, they were still there. They were sitting there with loosened chain, and although the door was opened, I was overwhelmed by the charismatic power they had sitting in the midst of the darkness. And I was shocked from that unexpected circumstances. And without intention, my lips called out curious to them, because in fact they have saved my life, and I kneeled down in front of them. They are, in a way, savior of my life. Now, if I or you were in this situation, in that situation, what would be the first thing or first question you would ask to Paul and Silas who are in the room? If I were the jailer, I would have thanked them for not escaping, because in that way I didn't have to kill myself or face death. I would also have asked them how come they were still here with amazed respect and thanks, since I'd be so curious why they had not escaped. If not, then I would have asked for their understanding of my rude behavior of locking and chaining to do my duty. I would have also apologized them for my invasive behavior, even. If you had been in that situation, you would have asked one of the three questions I just mentioned as well. However, this jailer was different. When he encountered a moment of such shock and unexpectedness, the first question he asked to Paul and Silas was, what must I do to be saved? This question was about salvation. If I were to rephrase the sentence in grammatical order of Greek, then it says, what do I have to do in order to be saved? What does this mean? It means that he had the question of this salvation in his mind all along. He was living with this question in everyday life. He knew that there must be something beyond one's death, one's physical death, which will result in a handful of dust and cemetery. But he didn't know how to get the answer to this fundamental question of salvation. Philippi was a city of idols, and there was no one who could answer this. So he kept this fundamental question all along, all by himself. But when he encountered this unexpected situation where Paul and Silas did not escape but stayed in the room, he knew that he might get this question answered, this fundamental question that he had all along. So he asks this question to Paul and Silas, and that's even before he was thanking them for not escaping, or even before apologizing for his rudeness. But his first urge was to ask this question of salvation. And he knew that these people were the right people to ask this important fundamental question. To this question, Paul immediately responded by saying, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Paul replied with gospel, and the jailer got the answer. Afterwards, the jailer got baptized with his family and became the children of God. If the jailer did not have this question in his heart, or if he didn't have this question in his mind all along, he wouldn't have asked this question in that night in the Philippi prison. His questions to Paul and Silas would be something that's unrelated to question of salvation. If that had been so, then the jailer would not have had the answer for the salvation and be saved. He would not have had his chance for salvation. But because he had this question in his mind every day, he was able to get the answer he needed for salvation. Paul, who had answered to this question of salvation, was not from Philippi in Europe. Paul was pastor of Antioch Church, which was located in Asia. When he left Antioch in Syria for his second mission trip, his plan was not to go to Philippi. He never even imagined at that time he would be going to Europe from Asia. As we know, he wanted to move on to the land where is Turkey today. But God has given him an alternate way, unexpectedly, and led them to go to Philippi in Europe. The Philippi in Europe was almost 2,000 kilometers away. And what was the reason for that? It was for Paul to respond to jailer's question, "What must I do to be saved?" It was this very purpose for the Paul to be there in the prison in that night. As I said, those who ask can get the answer. The more fundamental the question is, the more fundamental the answer is. Even living everyday lives, questionings and answering is an essential part for growth and learning. Therefore, when it comes to relationship with God, such deep, fundamental questioning and answering is very crucial. God's intention to answer to jailer's fundamental question of what must I do to be saved, this brought Paul from Asia to answer that question. The reason the doors of the prison became open and chains be loosened was solely for this purpose. And it was this purpose that Paul and Silas did not get out of the prison, but still remained in that room. After the Whit Sunday, there were many miracles through the disciples. And naturally, the number of followers for the disciples increased. The Jewish leaders were active, working against them. They were so jealous of the disciples, and they imprisoned some of them as well. In the Acts chapter 5, verse 19 to 20 states as follows. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the door of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple court," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this life." In that night, God's angel not only quietly opened the prison doors, but also brought the disciples out of the prison. And this was because the disciples had to continue to spread gospels. For this purpose, the angel actively led them out and guided them to out of the prison. As mentioned earlier, it was the similar situation for Peter as well in Jerusalem prison. Peter was sleeping the night before he was sentenced to be hanged. God's angel appears quietly and wakes him up. And then the chains become loosened as well. The Acts chapter 12, the verse 8 to 10 states, "Then the angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and sandals,' and Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him." Peter has just woke up and he was not quite conscious. But he was led by the angel to out of the prison. And this is because Peter had to come out of the prison for God's providence. However, in today's script, it was a little different. For Paul and Silas, God has opened up the door and loosened the chain, but that was all. The angel did not appear, nor the angel let them out of the prison. Paul and Silas must have wondered what they should do, whether they should stay in, whether they should walk out. So Paul and Silas must have asked God and prayed God what they should do, because the doors are open and the chains got loosened. Paul and Silas always ask God what they should do whenever they encounter such questioning moments. So they have prayed God what they should do. But there was no further guide given by God. So God must have answered them with silence. So to prayers of Paul and Silas, God answered with silence. And when God keeps silent, even after the doors are opened, that means to stay where they are at. This was God's answer, to stay still. And it was this moment for the jailer to ask, "What must I do to be saved?" And it was this moment that Paul to answer this fundamental question of salvation. And this moment was God's providence. Habakkuk the prophet had a hard time living in the corrupted world. He had difficulty accepting the people living in this corrupted world. Instead, he always asked questions to God about how to live with unrighteous person in this unrighteous world. He is searching for the answers to cope with them. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, he asks, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves?" Because he repeatedly questioned God about living this unrighteous world, God gives him the answer. This answer was that although the people who seemed successful were unrighteous, they cannot avoid God's judgment. Therefore, Habakkuk should work hard to keep his faith and pursue to live a life of a true believer. If Habakkuk had not asked this question, then he could not have received this precious fundamental answer. Solomon had built the famous Jerusalem temple. He had completed the construction with all the national power and passion. But he had questioned in his mind, can God really dwell in this temple? Can God really dwell on earth? In 1 Kings verse 8, verse 27, it states, "But will God really dwell on earth, the heavens? Even the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built." No matter how grandiose the temple is to the eyes of human, Solomon knew they must be very timid to the eyes of God. Therefore, God cannot dwell in this small, timid temple. To this question, he got God's answer that it is not so. With this answer, Solomon offered this Jerusalem temple only as a place, a spacious place for worshiping God who is omnipresent. However, as time passed by, not a single Israelite has questioned where God is, because they never asked, they never had the answer. They have kept omnipotent God, who is even more larger than the cosmos, inside that small temple to the eyes of God, and served this man-made Jerusalem temple as an idol. Eventually, the temple and their faith collapsed. Not only that, instead of sincerely searching God's presence, they were so focused with the commandment and the tradition which were made by themselves. They never asked or questioned where the God is, who the God is, what would God like. And as a result, they came to crucify Jesus on the cross, who is the only Son of God. Only those who question can get the answer. The more genuine and fundamental the questions are, so are the answers. I would like to confess about myself. I was born Christian, but I had many questions as a Christian and about church, about religion, and about faith. But there was no one who could clearly answer to the questions I had. But God has known what my questions were, and he responded to my questions through his words. I have gained so much answers through his words, and I share with them through classes such as New Believers Class, Mature Believers Class, and the Class for the Called. For God, if we keep asking questions in order to become mature Christians, God surely answers them through His words. The more fundamental and essential the questions are, the answers we can gain from God is very essential and fundamental as well. How about you? What kind of questions do you have? Have you asked yourself any question? Such as, do I really want to live as a true Christian for God? Have you ever asked this kind of sincere question even once in your life? If you haven't, then you're not living close to being a true Christian. Have you asked if you're living as a true parent of faith for my children who are given to me as a gift? Am I raising them in true faith? If you had not asked this question to yourself, then you are indifferent from parents who are not Christians, who doesn't have religion and faith. And one day, you will sit and cry and repent because of your children. Have you asked if you are a true Christian for your wife and husband? Do you respect your husband or wife as someone to serve? If not, then the relationship in that marriage is not one, and they're living their separate lives. Have you asked if you are living a life through God's justice? If you had not asked this question to God, then you are living a life that are partly unrighteous and partly in injustice without intention. Only for those who have and seek the answers in faith can leave this confused and corrupted world with wisdom and courage. When you have the answers of faith, then you will not get swindled by the world, and you can bring changes to the world. And only those who ask can get the answer. And if God stays silent to the questions you asked, and also that silence might be the answer as well. What must I do to be saved? To this jailer's question in Philippi prison in Europe, you have brought Paul from Asia to answer this question with gospel. The jailer who got the answer became your son with his family through salvation. Solomon asked you, and he got the answer that God is not to be kept within a man-made construction. Habakkuk also questioned, and he gained the answer that righteous man in faith should live by righteous standard. In the Philippi prison, Paul and Silas found out that God's silence is also a very clear God's answer. Likewise, only those who ask will get the answer. And the more fundamental and essential the question is, so is the answer. Thank you for reminding this in us. Please enable us to raise sincere questions from this moment and to become more mature believers by knowing what kind of question to ask and what kind of answer to seek. Let the question not be the question of doubt, but how to live as a true Christian in faith. Am I a true Christian for God? Am I a true parent with faith? Am I Christian like husband, wife, son, and daughter? Where is God now? Who is God to me? Can I contribute to hold the society on the words of gospel? Or am I destroying it with my own greed? Am I going after money? Or am I going after righteousness? Do I compromise with injustice for my own benefit? Make us ask these questions sincerely to gain good, sincere answers. And make us to live this world as a courageous Christian. Most of all, make us be mature Christians by knowing that at times, your silence is also a very clear answer, just as Paul and Silas did. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.